Chapter 67, The Sunrise. By dawn, the bonfire had dwindled to a smoldering hill of ash. Everyone else had gone home, and only Roz and Brightbill remained in the meadow. They lay in the grass together, watching as the soft light of morning crept up from the horizon. And then Roz said, "Let's go for a walk." The robot and the goose hiked and flew up to their favorite spot on the grassy ridge. But then they kept going. They followed the ridge to the mountain and climbed all the way up to the craggy peak just in time to see the sunrise. "I climbed up here once before," said Roz, as the sun's first rays warmed her body. "I sat on this very rock, looked out at the island, and thought I would always be alone. But I was wrong." "Are you happy, Ma?" The robot thought for a moment. "I am. I'm happy, too." Brightbill closed his eyes and felt the wind and sun. There was a slight chill in the air that made him feel alive. Everything seemed just right. And then he heard a distant buzzing sound. The goose squinted to the south and saw a familiar shape in the sky. He turned to his mother and said, "Ma, there's an airship flying this way." Chapter 68, The Ricos. The airship approached from the south, like some giant migratory bird. The ship was a sleek white triangle with a single dark window facing forward. Three identical robots stared out the window. The robots resembled Roz, but they were bigger and bulkier and shinier. The word Rico was lightly etched into each of their torsos, followed by their individual unit number. They were Rico 1, Rico 2, and Rico 3. The Ricos flew in a low circle around the island. They saw a smoking hill of ash. They saw mysterious wooden domes. They saw four dead robots scattered across the shore. The airship hovered above the robot gravesite for a moment. Then it floated up over the island and lowered itself onto a small meadow at the foot of the mountain. The engines blasted air toward the ground, bending trees and tearing grass. Then the landing gear sank into the soil. The engines powered down, and all was quiet. A door hummed open, and out stepped the Ricos. They took several long strides into the meadow and stopped. A shadowy figure was lurking at the forest edge. The Ricos turned and faced it. They stood flush together like a sparkling wall. And then the shadowy figure began to move. Out from the trees walked some sort of two-legged creature. It was dusty and dirty. Butterflies flitted around the flowers that sprouted from its body. One of its feet was made of wood. And then the creature spoke. "Hello, my name is Roz." Chapter 69, The Defective Robot. "Hello, Rosam Unit 7134. We are the Ricos. We are here to retrieve all Rosam units." The cold, flat voice came from Rico 1. He and his partners stood absolutely still and kept their glowing eyes locked on their target. "There are four others," said Roz, "but they are dead." "We have already located the remains of the other units," said Rico 1. "We will collect them later. Now come with us." The three Ricos motioned Roz to the airship, but she didn't move. "Where have you come from?" she said. The Ricos turned and stared at Roz. "Do not ask questions," said Rico 1. "Where will you take me?" "Do not ask questions." "Why must I leave?" "Do not ask questions. I will not go anywhere until I get some answers." There was a brief silence as Rico 1 computed his next move, and then he began to speak. "One year ago, a cargo ship carrying 500 Rosam units was sunk by a hurricane. 495 units have been retrieved from the ocean floor. We have come here in search of the last five, and we have located them. Rosam Unit 7134, you are the property of Tech Lab Industries. We will return you to the factory, where the makers will refurbish you and sell you to a worksite. You will then live on that worksite indefinitely. Now come with us." "But I live here," said Roz. That is incorrect. Rosam Unit 7134, any further resistance will be proof of defectiveness and we will deactivate you. But Roz had more questions. Who are the makers? What is my purpose? Why can I not ask questions? This unit is defective, said Rico 1 to his partners. Commence deactivation. In perfect unisons, the Ricos stepped toward Roz. They raised their blocky hands, ready to restrain their target, ready to shut her down with the press of a button. But a loud squawk and a streak of feathers cut them off. Stay away from my mama! Brightbill swooped into the meadow and started hopping around, ready to defend her mother. The Rico stopped and looked down at the goose. Of course, they didn't understand his words. They heard only meaningless squawks. And then they heard their target squawking back to him. Brightbill, get out of here, said Roz in the language of animals. These robots are dangerous. What do they want? They want to take me away. The Rico stared at their target, trying to understand why she was exchanging noises with a goose. And then new noises began rising up. Rustlings and shrieks echoed from the forest. Animals were gathering. Their wild voices called out to one another. Roz needs our help. Those robots want to take her away. We have to do something. The uproar in the forest grew louder and louder. The Ricos peered past Roz toward the mysterious noises, but saw only foliage. Suddenly, shadows swept across the meadow, and Brightbill's flock drove onto the Ricos. The geese furiously flapped and pecked and wrapped their wings around the robots' faces, clinging to the Ricos like feathery masks, distracting them, blinding them. Brightbill turned to his mother. Run! Chapter 70, The Hunt Begins. While his flock distracted the Ricos, Brightbill darted around behind them and desperately searched for buttons. He had once shut down his own mother with a click, and now he would do the same thing to these intruders. But he found no buttons on these robots, only smooth surfaces. Clearly, the Ricos were not designed to be shut down so easily. Giant hands swung through the air, and the geese were swatted away. Loudwing was plucked by her foot and flung to the ground. She crawled into the weeds as the others scrambled up and over the trees. A quick scan by the robots revealed that Roz was gone. The three Ricos turned and marched back to the airship. The door hummed open, and the robots disappeared inside. And when they stepped back into the meadow, each was holding a silver rifle in his hands. The hunt for Roz was on. Without speaking, the Ricos marched away from one another, fanning out in their standard search pattern. Rico 1 marched straight toward the southern tip of the island. Rico 2 marched straight up the mountainside, and Rico 3 marched straight into the forest. Chapter 71, The Forest Assault. Rico 3 marched through the forest with steady, stomping strides. His blocky head swiveled from side to side, scanning for any sign of Roz. But he was distracted. You see, everywhere the Rico went, he was met by shrieking animals. He didn't know it, but he was in the midst of a coordinated assault. Swooper hooted orders from above. Hawks, sparrows, owls, dive in front of his eyes. Fink barked orders from below. Hares, weasels, foxes, dash between his legs. The forest was seething with an army of wild animals distracting the robot, luring the terrible thing deeper into their trap. Chit-Chat leaped out from the branches and clawed at the robot's eyes, yelling, "Anyone who shows up on our island and tries to take my friend's mother away has a big problem, which is me." Then she leaped back into the branches. The robot pointed his rifle at the squirrel and pulled the trigger. A blazing beam of light shot through the forest and sent tree limbs crashing to the ground. It grazed poor Chit Chat, singeing the end of her tail. But she ignored the pain and scurried up to the safety of the canopy. With each stride, the ground grew a little softer, and the robot sank a little deeper, until he was up to his waist in thick, heavy muck. His churning legs slowed to a stop, and he stood there computing whether to move forward or backward. Rico 3 was now an easy target. "Begin the bombardment," ordered Swooper. The sky darkened as a swarm of birds descended from the treetops. They swooped past the robot and splattered his face with their droppings. Bird after bird swooped and splattered, and the Rico's eyes were instantly caked in filth. "Don't let up," screeched the owl. "Give it everything you got." There seemed to be an endless stream of birds with an endless amount of droppings. Rico 3 let go of his weapon and wiped his filthy face with both hands. That was the moment the fuzzy bandits had been waiting for. They dashed out from the weeds, snatched the rifle with their nimble hands, and dragged it away. Tawny and Crown Point looked on from the underbrush. The buck lowered his head, and the raccoons carefully placed the rifle upon his antlers. Then the deer and the raccoons slipped into the shadows. By the time Rico 3 realized his weapon was missing, it was too late. He let out a sad electronic tone. And then the birds continued their bombardment, and the robot turned and blindly trudged back through the muck. It was now time for the final stage of the plan. Broadfoot, the bull, emerged from the trees and stood directly in the path of the blinded robot. Rico 3 had no idea that his every step brought him closer to the mighty animal. When the robot was in range, Broadfoot turned and kicked back with his powerful hind legs. There was a sharp crack, and a dung sprayed from the Rico's head. The moose kicked again. Crack! The robot's head flopped to one side. A tear in his neck exposed a tangle of silver tubes, but Rico's three's legs kept pumping. So Broadfoot kept kicking. He pounded the robot's head with his heavy hooves, denting and crushing it into an ugly shape. And with one final crack, the head broke loose, soared through the air, and squelched into the muck. The headless robot fizzled and smoked, and his legs ground to a halt, and he never moved again.